Had like Verizon or AT&T. Just don't know. Sprint, maybe Sprint. We are in week two of ETA. We are talking about the return of Jesus Christ to planet Earth. And last week, I talked about the promise of Jesus, how if there's anyone that has ever made a promise, that there's one person that you could depend upon for this specific promise. And it was that he said, I will come back. He said, I will come back. And last week we said, Jesus will keep his promise to come and get us. Jesus will keep it. So Jesus Christ, who we celebrated a couple weeks ago, died on a cross, rose from the dead, he is coming back to earth. It's going to be as literal as we are sitting in this room right now. It's kind of step one of this process of understanding that there is a culmination of earth, and Jesus is a big piece of this. And so the question that you lead to when you get to that idea is when? When is Jesus coming back? When? I mean, isn't that it? Like, do I need to tell a story about the tension of when Jesus is coming? Everybody wants to know when the end of the world is. Everybody would love to know. I mean, just imagine for a second if you knew when Jesus was coming back, when the end of the world was going to be. If you knew, if you were like the one in the room that was like, I know. Can you imagine like how that would change your life? Like how differently you might live. How you might order things, the things you might say, the things you might do, if you were the one that not only knew he was coming back, but knew when he was coming back. I mean, if you knew that it was going to happen in 2079, you know what I mean? Like, what would you do financially for the next however many years? What would you do with your kids? What would you do with decisions right now? What would you do? How would it change you? You see, knowing when Jesus is coming back has been a question that has been asked since the very, very beginning. In fact, I believe that there was so much confusion around this. They wanted to know when Jesus was coming back. They were looking, and for 2,000 years, we've been asking that question. When's he coming? When's he coming back? When's he coming back? And last week, I took us to the story of Jesus leaving planet Earth. So he raises from the dead. He goes and he sees some of the disciples. And then he has his final conversation with them that really is why we're here today, where Jesus says, go make disciples of everybody, which means go tell everybody else to follow me the way that you're following me. And then he's going up into the sky. And as he's going up into the sky, the angels from heaven come down and stand next to the disciples who are looking up in the sky. And this is the interaction. We looked at this last week. Men of Galilee, they said, these are the angels. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. And I just imagine it this way. I imagine that they're standing there, they're looking, and then the angels come up and they're like, why are you looking up into heaven? Let's go. And they say, he's coming back. And then they go, oh, he's coming back. And they look like this and they go, when? When's he coming back? And from that moment on, that's been the question. When's he coming back? When's Jesus coming back? Come on, don't you want to know? Don't you want to, like, have the insider track to that? And Jesus had said some things about his return that we talked about last week. He promised that he was coming back. And so the disciples actually believed, because of some of the things that Jesus said, that he was going to come back while they were still alive. So they go and they sit in a room. The Bible says sit in a room. And they're waiting for Jesus to come back. And they actually thought that Jesus was going to come back while they were sitting in this room, and that Jesus was going to come back with a big old army and take over all of Jerusalem, sit on the throne of David, be the king, and be their leader. So they've been just going, oh, wow, this is awesome. When's he coming back? He's coming back. They went into a room, and they sat there, and they waited for him. And what ended up happening is that instead of Jesus coming back in literal form, he sent this Holy Spirit down. And this is this thing called Pentecost, where they're sitting in this upper room. They're praying. They're actually waiting for the return of Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And now God, in this spiritual form, embodies anyone that follows Jesus. So, like, we become the temple of God, and the Spirit of God is inside of us. And then they think back. Jesus actually talked about that. He actually said, I will send another of the same kind. And he used this word, this word called paraclete. It's this word that means that he would bring someone alongside you, and he would live inside you, and he would be me, but he would be a different version of me. And they didn't understand it when he said it, but then there they are, and the Holy Spirit came down, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that moment on, the church started. Anybody that called themselves followers of Jesus became the church. And within days, thousands of people heard the story of Jesus and said, I want to follow Jesus, I want to follow Jesus. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it just rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. And every generation, every single group of people for the past 2,000 years have been going, so when's he coming? When's he coming back? When's he coming back? When's he coming back? Is it now? Is it now? Is it now? And Jesus talked about when he was coming back a lot. Last week we mentioned how much he actually talked about it. The majority of the New Testament has conversation, letters, or Jesus talking about when he's coming back. And so what's happened over the years is there's been these things throughout time that have kind of led people to think, I know when. Because of what Jesus said, I know when. And it's really broken down into two different categories. It's really important to think about when, and it's broken down into two different categories, signs and people. You see, there's some signs, and these are just literally like road signs, that Jesus said would happen, and so people look at certain events, and they go, oh, Jesus mentioned an event that looks like this one here, so this must be when Jesus is coming back. And then there's been some people who are spiritual leaders throughout the past 2,000 years who have said, because of the signs, this is when Jesus is coming back. So for 2,000 years, there's been some signs, and then there's been some people, and all of that has kind of made this idea for so many leaders throughout the past 2,000 years, this is when he's coming back. And people have tried to cash in on this knowledge of when. So when you look at this and you start to break it down, you see that when is kind of elusive. 2,000 years, they've been asking the question, what are the signs? So Jesus gave some signs. I'll just give you a little insight on signs. Jesus actually talked about signs, and he said, there's going to be these things that happen, and when you see something going on with a tree, like right now we're in spring, and when you see the leaves grow on the tree, that means spring is coming and then the fruit is coming. And he's talking about that in the Bible in the terms of when he was coming back. There's going to be a couple things that happen and then Jesus is coming back. I'm coming back for you. And he goes into that whole process and he talks about it. And it's kind of like Christmas lights. Okay, it's like after Halloween, we all go to the mall and the Christmas lights are up and the Christmas tree is up. And then we all go, well, that must mean Santa Claus is coming to town. And Jesus kind of gave us some Christmas-like things. But what's happened is that people have looked at certain signs throughout the past 2,000 years, and they've said, this right here is exactly directed to what Jesus said would happen, and they've been wrong for 2,000 years. They want to know when based on the signs, but they've been wrong. Just a couple examples of the signs. In 70 AD, the temple that was in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, you guys will see this temple get destroyed. So what happened is when 70 AD came around and the temple got destroyed, people went, that's a sign, Jesus is coming back. That's a sign. Jesus is coming back. He must be coming back in the next couple of years. They were wrong. Jesus talked about the temple being destroyed, and they thought that it meant he was coming right away, and they were wrong. So the sign happened, but they were wrong about when. So everybody wants to know when. They didn't get it. And they're going, we misinterpreted Jesus. Another thing is that Jesus talks about, and the scriptures talk about this Antichrist, that someone would come along and they would say, I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah. And they would actually do miracles and do all these wonderful things. And that was going to be a sign of the end of the time. Now, there's a bunch of different signs that people thought were the beginning of the end, but they weren't. One of the biggest ones was in World War II, Hitler, when he led and he started to take over the world and he started to destroy the Jewish population, there were thousands of people that were like, that's it. Jesus is coming back. I mean, literally, people built holes in the ground. They did the stockpiling. They literally, like, when the atom bomb hit and then Hitler, the whole deal made people think that's a sign the end is near. And they were wrong because they thought this must mean it's coming soon. And they were wrong. Now, when I was in high school, Y2K, anybody remember Y2K? Everybody thought, this is a sign. Here we go. The end is coming. When I was in high school at my baccalaureate, me and my buddy Joel, we sang a song about the end times because it was 1999. From Gaither, Bill Gaither, and you know, anybody know Gaither Band? I'm gonna tell you about the coming of the judgment fairly well, in that great getting up morning fairly well, in, I mean, it's so weird. Talking about the end of the world, destruction. When you see the lightning flashing, when you hear the thunder crashing, when you see the stars are falling, good news, chariots coming. I mean, I'm just like singing all this stuff about this horrible thing. We're like, I'm going to tell you about the coming of the judgment. I'm like, I look back on that now and I'm like, am I losing my mind? Like, we got up there and we sang about the end times and this was like happy tune. We're like harmonizing. Good news! It was just like ridiculous. But everyone was afraid. Everyone thought computers and binary code and the whole thing. It was like, whoa, here we go. As soon as you get to Y2K, that's the end. Well, guess what? They were wrong. Now, there's been some people. So you have the signs and a lot of people kind of responded to some of these big signs. And there was a bunch more than I mentioned. But what you see throughout the years, throughout the past 2,000 years, that there were some people that really thought, as spiritual leaders, I know. I know when Jesus is coming back. And so people listen to these people and go, wow, this guy knows. He must understand something we don't know. And for thousands of years, people couldn't read the Bible unless they read the original language that it was written in. So only the spiritual leaders, they would kind of say, this is happening and this is happening. And ultimately, they would manipulate the scriptures to make people follow them and believe in them because they thought that they had an edge on when. Because everybody wants to know when. There was a contemporary, a guy who was alive at the end of the first century, still alive around the same time that John, who was a follower of Jesus, was writing. His name was Saint Irenaeus. And he said, this is one of the founding fathers of Christianity. He said, Jesus will come back in 500 AD. Now, when I was at seminary, we read stuff by this guy. Like, this guy has taught some great things. And he has some great theological insights. But he was one of the guys that said, this is when it's going to happen. Well, 500 AD came and went. Didn't happen. He was wrong. One of the earliest popes, right at the very beginning, in the first 1,000 years, this guy said, Jesus is coming back by 1,000 AD. Tons of people listened, flocked, and followed this guy because he said he knew when. Because everybody wants to know when. Now, when you start to get closer to our era, you start to go, really? That guy said when he thought he knew? John Wesley. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. And I have nothing against the Methodists. But this is a Orthodox, mainline Christian faith. And John Wesley said, 1836, he actually took a passage from the Old Testament and he said, or the New Testament, the book of Revelation said, because of this thing right here, he did this calculation and said, Jesus is coming back in 1836. And everybody followed because everybody wants to know when. There's a guy named Joseph Smith, started the Mormon Church. Now, The Mormon Church, I believe, doesn't teach what the scriptures lead us to believe. I believe it doesn't capture the heart of the truth of Jesus Christ. But a big, big following of people came to follow this guy because he said, 1891, Jesus is coming back. And a bunch of people followed him because everybody wants to know when, and people are going to follow the people that tell them when Jesus is coming back. And there's another faith out there that I wouldn't say teaches the Bible as I interpret it, and I'm not trying to knock on that, but it's not what I believe, but it's a big faith out there, and they did the same thing. They had leadership that said 1914. I mean, they literally looked at scriptures, and they said, guess what? Based on this, this is when Jesus is coming back, 1914. Well, 1914 came and went. They were wrong. There's another guy named Herbert Armstrong. You might have heard of this guy. I mean, this guy struck out like five times. I mean, look at this guy. I mean, this guy says, you know, he's doing calculations. He's reading the scriptures. He has these ideas. He says, 1935, Jesus is coming back. That comes around, and he goes, oh, wait a second. I missed something. And then he goes, 1943, didn't happen. Then he says, 1972, didn't happen. 1975, I mean, Dave was alive in 1975. Did Jesus come back in 1975?
I hope not.
You did not. I'm still here. You missed it. Herbert Armstrong. Everybody wants to know when. Now, I went to Liberty Theological Seminary. Okay, it's in Lynchburg, Virginia. It's actually the largest university, I believe it's top two in the world because of their online campus. And I got my master's degree from Liberty University. They teach some of the greatest theology, fundamental, biblical, Christ-centered. All right? The leader, Jerry Falwell, is an amazing leader. This guy, he pioneered this online deal so that so many people are falling in love with Jesus and they're learning and they're growing. And their whole deal is to make these spiritual champions. Jerry Falwell was a great guy. But Jerry Falwell, and look, I graduated from there. Jerry Falwell said, I believe Jesus is coming back between 1999 and 2009, right? So some of these guys up here, I just couldn't disagree with more. Joseph Smith, Jehovah's Witness. Some of these guys I agree with really on almost everything, and he said it too, because everybody wants to know when. And 2009 came and went, and Jerry was wrong. There's a guy recently named Harold Camping. This is one of the most recent ones. You guys remember this? My wife and I were at a department store to buy shoes for our kids, and there was this family, and this guy had this yellow shirt on, and it said, ask me about May 21st. So I'm like the guy that asks. And I'm like, what's going on May 21st? And this guy turns to me, and he hands me a card, and he says, Jesus is coming back May 21st. And I was like, really? Why are you buying all your kids new shoes then? It's like 2 months away. What a waste. I actually said that. Because I thought he was kidding. And he wasn't. He goes, oh yeah, we want our kids to have nice shoes in heaven. I'm kidding, he didn't say that. But we had this interaction, and I handed him one of my cards. I put out one of my cards. And I said, hey man, this is my card. On May 22nd, call me and let's have coffee. And he picked it up like this. And he looked at it and he goes, I can't take this. And I go, why? I just want to talk, man. I just want to talk like with you afterwards. And he goes, because if I take this, then I'm not really holding my ground on my beliefs. I was like, wow, man. So then May 22nd came around. Harold redid his equation from the signs and said October 21st was it. That came around, and it didn't happen. So the question is, everybody wants to know when, but who really knows? We've had people that have looked at signs and thought that those signs meant Jesus is coming back. We've had people that literally are spiritual leaders, good, bad, in the middle, whatever it is, and they do not know. Now, some of you, I'm going to put something in front of you, and you have seen this before, but this is critical. The reason why I want to put this next piece of scripture in front of you is because when you talk about the end and you talk about Jesus coming back, people get crazy. They get crazy. They just think they know. They just have an insight. They just stockpile. They got lots of cans of, you know, tomatoes. I don't know. Like, people get nuts. And they think they have an insight. And then sometimes they go around and tell everybody else, I know, so you should listen to me. Some of you have seen what I'm about to show you, but in terms of the fundamentals of this end time thing that Jesus talked about a lot, I believe there's three really important things. I told you the first one last week, and today I'm going to show you the second one. The first one is that he is actually coming. It's actually going to happen. The second one is about who knows when. Who knows when? And this is what Jesus says when he is talking to his disciples and they ask him the question, when? When is this going to happen? When are you coming back? And Jesus says this. He says, but about that day, the day that I come back, or the hour, no one knows. No person knows. No person on earth knows when. Look what he says. No one knows the year. No one knows the month. No one knows the week. No one knows the day. No one knows the hour. No one knows the minute. No one knows the second. You need to understand this. No one knows. If anybody comes along and says that they know, don't listen to them. Just go, Mark 13, 32. You can be one of those weird people. Get it tattooed right on your neck. Whatever. It's better to be weird about what Scripture says than weird about what it doesn't. Holler. No one knows, man. People get all riled up about this, man. They eat this up, and what happens is wolves in sheep's clothing come around and manipulate all of us. And they try to leverage when to their advantage. And it's wrong. And Jesus said it from the beginning. No one knows. Now, come on, Jesus. No one knows. Someone has to know. Jesus, what about the people that are like up in heaven with you? Nope. Not even the angels in heaven. I mean, you need to get this picture, right? Jesus is up in heaven. He's sitting next to God. Like, angels come up and bring him a latte. This is how I think. You bring him a latte, and they're like, hey, man, I did extra foamy this time. When are you going back down there? Come on, I got people that want to know. Gabriel's at his house wigging out. I got to settle him down. He wants to get ready. Come on, Jesus. No one knows. Not even the heavenly beings that are up there looking at God and Jesus on the throne. No. They have no idea. They're literally like getting up every morning, just like the Lego movie. Here we go. Whoa, what are the instructions? They're just going through life waiting for the trumpet to sound. And then they go, whoa, man, I got to go get my whatever and head off to earth and take over the world. I mean, I don't know. They have no idea. Not a clue. No human knows, no angel knows. And Jesus says this, nor the Son. Get this picture, right? Jesus is sitting next to the Father. The angel comes up with the latte. Oh, come on, man, let us know. Dude, I can't tell you. But do you know? I'm Jesus. Yeah, but do you know? Well, I'm the Son of God. Yeah, but do you know when you're going back? Oh, Michael, you're so silly. Just walk away. God, everyone is asking me, when are you going to send me? Oh, son, you're silly. I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, but I got to get ready. I got to get on like my I got to get on my game day sandals. Like I got to be ready. I got to get ready for this. Will you tell me when? No. No. I'm not going to tell you. Everybody wants to know when. Everybody wants to leverage it for themselves. Everybody wants that power. God has that power. I'm not giving it to you. No one on earth knows, no angel knows. Jesus Christ, who made the promise of his return, doesn't know. But only, you need to get this, but only the Father. Now, theologically, we are talking about some really cool stuff right here. For some of you are going, what is he talking about? I get really into the theological piece of this. There's this thing called the Trinity. You might have heard the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. This passage right here, this is just a parenthetical little moment. Just hang with me. I love the Bible. What you're seeing right here is you're seeing one of the passages that shows us that God is three separate persons in one. Okay? the Son and the Father are the same but distinct mystery. Just wade in that. You don't have to understand it. Just snorkel in it. It's great. What is happening? Okay? It's amazing. The Father, the creator of heaven and earth, he's the only one that knows. He's the only one that knows. And he has a perfect plan. Listen, he has a perfect plan just the same way he had a perfect plan to send his son the first time. It's perfect. It's going to be right on time. No one's going to know but him. Only God knows when Jesus is returning. Only God. This is the epitome of, well, God knows. That's it. He hasn't told anybody. He never will until he just goes like this. You're up. It is critical when we're talking about the end times to wrap your mind around three big ideas that really matter. You are going to hear people on podcasts and on the radio that are going to literally suck in thousands of people. They're going to line up a bunch of signs, and they're going to sound really, really smart, telling you this is happening and this is happening, and now the temple and now the this and now the that. And for thousands of years, very spiritual people have thought that those signs led to when, and all of them have been wrong. You know why? Because this is about God. This is about God's power. This is about God's salvation. This is not about people knowing all of the details of his plans. This is about people looking to a God who is fully in control and letting their dependence upon him increase, not decrease. You know what happens when we think we know when? We put power into ourselves, we trust in ourselves, and we cease to trust God. That's not God's game plan for my life, and that's not God's game plan for your life. God only knowing when the ETA is part of his mysterious, beautiful plan to keep you continually seeking after him. Seek after him. That's what matters. No one knows but God. Three things. He is coming. No one knows when but God. And next week I'll tell you number three. All the things that really matter, that really we can see from the scriptures, I'm talking about in ETA. Let's take a minute. Let's pray. Father, right now we draw close to you. The mystery of your return, the mystery of the signs, the mystery of the people. The confusion that it causes us, the desire to have all those details figured out. God, we surrender that right now because we don't know, and we know that you know, and we want to depend upon you with our entire lives. Help us not to be the people that try to look at the scriptures and leverage it to make people think we're smart and make people think we're more spiritual. Even Jesus doesn't know. Father, thank you for these simple truths. Help them to impact our lives. Help them to transform our daily routines, that we would trust you more and ourselves less. In Jesus' name.